learning should be a schus for a four shleima for Meira Mindelbas Tava Golda. If everybody can write down her name, she's the young wife of a graduate who needs seriously a four shleima. Meira Mindelbas Tava Golda. So if anybody wants to go to the Kotel and say some Pirkei Tehillim, it's a very, very grim situation. And it just, they just found out. Meira Mindelbas Chava Golda. And I was also told to announce that due to the frigid weather conditions in Jerusalem, we're organizing a Natif flight on Motzei Shabbos to the south of Florida. And if you bring 5 pairs of tefillin, then you can come, and all the people passing by, I hear there are going to be a lot of people there this Shabbos. All the people passing by on Sunday, you can put tefillin on them and hopefully elevate them a little bit higher. Something to look forward to. Okay. This is very exciting. It says, Bachodesh HaShlishi, Letzeit B'nai Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim Bayei Mazeh Ba'o Midbar Sinai. In the third month, after they left Egypt, they came to Midbar Sinai. So, as you know, or as you might know, as I wish you would know, because I wish you'd come over, I live on Rehob Or HaChaim. It's called Rehob Or HaChaim because the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim Ben Attar, who I like to say is the great-great-grandfather of Rav Meir Ben Attar and Rav David Ben Attar, our very own, but that can't be true because they only had daughters. In any event, it's interesting that in Hebrew, an atar is an internet site. So isn't it interesting that one of the biggest rabbis, his last name means the son of an internet site? In any event, it says in the parasha, it says in the Urachai, so I live on Rehob Urachai, that was his street, and that's his shul. So it's a big schus, whenever I can get up, and a crowd of maybe 2 or 3 people are listening, that I can, I always want to see how people are listening, so I say something really silly and I see how many chuckles there are. So I like quoting the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. I think this Or HaChaim HaKadosh is worth a lot more than a 1-minute commercial in the middle of the Super Bowl, which I'm saying we're talking in the 6 to 7 figures. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Hinei! How can you say sorry? You're so cute. Hinei, lema shekodam. I don't know why anybody bothers coming. Why doesn't everybody go downstairs and learn? Leave your MP3 players and your iPods here, and you'll get both done at the same time. By Hinei, lema shekodam in the otzim chibasi yisbarach v'godol cheshko. Laseis lahem arusasim zos haTorah. Since the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it's clear that God wants to give us our girl. God has a great desire to give us our girl. Arusasam. Who's our Arusa? Who's our girl? The Torah. You guys never see? I'm going steady with the Torah. I walk around, I'm always holding one. And whenever I finish, I give it a kiss. I'm going steady with the Torah. So that's Godel Cheshko. He wanted to give us the Torah. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha Kilas Yaakov. Chazal say, don't say Morasha. Say Misora. No. Say Me'or. It depends which cap you like. Say Me'orasa. That we, Torah Tzivalanu Me'orasa, we are Me'oras to the Torah. We have this, we're betrothed to the Torah. The Pasuk says Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Rosha Kilasi Yaakov and Chazal Darshan. I'll take we Morasha or Morasa. Tikshe. Alaminis Akiv Hashem Yitesa Torah Chodesh Hashlishi. So, Rabbeinu Shlomo, what are you waiting for? It says they got it in the third month. Why don't we just walk right out of Egypt and get it right away? Just walk out, receive it. We discussed the last year, for those who were here, maybe you remember, how we had to get the Torah, because once you're free, you don't know what to do with your free time. You're just like, you can do anything now. So free, too much free time is dangerous. As we know in America, people have a lot of free time, and people get into a lot of trouble. The more free time, usually the more trouble. So therefore, after we were freed from Egypt, now we need something concrete, something practical to fill our lives with. So therefore, God had to give us this Torah. So why did he wait till Chodesh HaShlishi, till the third month? I think the Or Chaim HaKadosh's question is a good question. And kimin simane avahi shleis akim choshek mi bolik chukaso. Part of love is that you don't hold back. So since God loves us and He wants to give us our beloved, so everything should have come together immediately. Just make it happen. You know, we're in the now generation, so we can understand this. People don't like you have to put something in the oven and wait 25 minutes. We like you put it in the micro, and if dinner isn't ready in 15 seconds, chabal. You want to send a message overseas. So in the olden days, how long did it take to get a message to Israel? It took 3 weeks. How many weeks did you say? 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Okay? It took about 2 or 3 days until you found the letter and the envelope and the stamp in the letter. And then you wrote what you had to write. And then it took another 3 or 4 days until you actually got to the mailbox. And then you put it in, and then it takes 2 weeks to get to Israel. So altogether, it's about 3 weeks. Today, how long does it take? Boop! One little click, and there it is overseas. So we're in the instant gratification generation. So we understand. Just give us the Torah now. We want Mashiach now. We're now people. And he says, oh, you're going to tell me that they had to get to the mountain, and it takes time to get to the mountain. But that's not a problem for God. What could God do? What did they used to say about Michael Jordan? They used to say, who says man can't fly? So we have Eliezer going to get a wife for Yitzchak, going to get Rivka, and what did he have? He had Kfitzas HaDerech. He takes a step here, and next thing he knows, he's 150 miles away. So God could have done the same trick for the Jewish people. The same God that split the sea is the same God. God isn't daunted by a little bit of a derech. He could have gotten there right away, or he could have brought the mountain to them. There are many options. Says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, Bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nosa mamat l'ledavar, ki lo miut ha-cheshek hu ha-soviv, elu l'tzad ha-chsharis ha-chasim. It wasn't that God wasn't interested. It's that there was a problem here with the chasim. Who's the chasim?
We are.
We are. Might as well talk to all of us. We look so nice tonight. Ki lo hayu Yisrael ruyim. We were not yet ready for this marriage. There's always a big question before you start dating. Am I ready to get married? Answer is, if you're not, then it's not a good idea to date yet. So we were not yet ready for this marriage. Why? Because we were in an impure land, and that affected us. So as the Zohar HaKadosh says, how many weeks did it take until we got the Torah? 7? That's why we count Sefiras HaOmer. We count 49 days, which is 7 weeks. Okay? That's the third month, but it's 50 days altogether. So, we left in the middle of Nisan, and then we got it at the beginning of Sivan. Good. So, 7 weeks, and what does 7 weeks remind you of? Everybody knows 7 reminds you of Anida. Oh, Shabbos also. Anida. Anida has to count 7 clean days after her period concludes. I always loved that in high school when the period concluded. Beep, the bell went off and they all ran out. But in Hilchos Nida, it means something else. In Hilchos Nida means that, whatever it means. So after now she's clean, she has 7 clean days, she checks herself, and now she can be with her husband. So what did the Jewish people need? The Jewish people needed 7 clean weeks, meaning 7 weeks to purify ourselves. Nida, that symbolizes, the blood symbolizes impurity. She has to be pure. So too, Klal Yisrael, we had to purify ourselves before we received the Torah. That's interesting. We got the Torah, which is our Kala, and we're considered Hashem's Kala. He's our Chasam. So we're really both. V'amro, and that's what it means, and it says in the Pasuk, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael. It says, V'chodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael, Meretz Mitzrayim. What is Letzeis B'nei Yisrael? Lesivas Yitziyasa, Meretz Mitzrayim, Hu HaSovei, Yitvas Adabar, Ad HaChodesh HaShlishi. Now, the Pasuk is alluding to the fact. It says in the third month. Why the third month? Because Letzeis B'nei Yisrael, Meretz Mitzrayim. You had to take the Jews out of Egypt. What do they say? They say, you can take the Jew out of Galus, but can you take the Galus out of the Jew? That's a lot harder. So you can take the Jews out of Egypt, but we had to spend 7 weeks getting the Egypt out of us. That's a big job. And he continues, the halaya, and he now says, I have a proof. Ki kishakarvu yimeach sharasam, bo biyom nasu, bo biyom bo, vuomru biyom azeh, shenasu, bo biyom bo. But then when it came time to travel, when they got to Midbar Sinai, Everything happened on the same day. They left and they came on the same day. Okay? And he says, and now look at the desire of Hashem. Because yes, they had to wait 3 months to purify themselves. But now, once they got there, once you get to the wedding hall, you want to see the kala already. So you're right. Until we got to Har Sinai, it was a good while. We had to have those 7 pure weeks. But now, on the day that they left to arrive at Har Sinai, the same day they left is the same day they arrived. And then how many days did it take until they got the Torah? It was only 6 days. It wasn't very long. And because he says, he gives a little bit of a mashal, which I'll let you read inside on your own. I'd rather not read it publicly. But he gives somewhat of a graphic mashal about the desire that one would have upon receiving the Torah related to a marriage mashal. So he says, once now we get to Har Sinai, there's no time to waste. A few days later, Chazal say each day was another thing to prepare us for the big moment. The first day he didn't say anything. We weren't ready to hear. We were tired. The second day, you're a holy nation. The third, the fourth, they had to separate from their wives to purify. And then on the sixth day or on the seventh day, they got the... On the sixth of Sivan, on the sixth day, on the sixth or seventh of Sivan, they received the Torah. So that is the Or Chaim HaKadosh. So what do we see from here? We see that the Jews, in order to receive the Torah, they had to be prepared. Now, this Torah is not just something that you take. Torah is something that you have to prepare yourself for. Now, why is that important for us? Because we know that everything it says in the Torah has to be eternal. A lot of stuff happened in Jewish history, and only things that we have to know for our lives, daily lives today, the Torah writes. So everything we learn about Kabbalah HaTorah is something, and if you look beautifully in the next Or HaChaim, he talks about different things you need. Ish echad v'lev echad, you have to have unity. So even today, in the year Tav Shin Ayin, when we're receiving the Torah every day, we also have to do what was done at Har Sinai. So what's the first thing? The first thing is purity. You have to be pure. In other words, you have to take, in order to get the Torah, you can't be a Mitzrayim Jew and also get the Torah. You have to get that out of your system. You have to purify yourselves. And that's what the Jews did. It says they went to Mikvah and they purified themselves there, and they had to wait the 7, which corresponds to the 7 days of 7 days of the Nida. So they had to purify themselves in order to receive the Torah. So that means that Bizman Azeh, when we receive the Torah, it means that in order to get it, you have to be pure. That's what it says in the Sefer Derech Hashem. He says, you want to learn Torah? Torah is not merely an intellectual exercise. If you want the Torah to penetrate to your heart, you have to be pure. If you want to do it just purely as an intellectual exercise, as we probably all know people, and they can analyze and they can use really big words, but it doesn't penetrate into their heart. And the Torah ultimately has to come into our hearts. Where do we see that? What do we say all the time that shows us that relationship between Torah and heart? Psach libi, thank you, Yitzi. Psach libi b'soresecha. Open up my heart to your Torah. Which means the Torah is not up here. The Torah has to go down here to your heart. What about I? Let's say you say, but that's not... You see, some people have good heads. And they learn really well. But that's not the point. It's not the point. It's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he says the different type of people have to learn. Whether you're rich or you're poor, you're old or you're young. He doesn't say whether you're intelligent or unintelligent. Because he doesn't even have to say that. Because it's a no-brainer. It's pshita that somebody would have to learn Torah, even if they're not so intelligent. Because Torah is not about intelligence. What's Torah about? A heart. I often say, what are your boys saying? Oh, you know, I'm not so smart, I don't really understand so well, and it's not really for me. It has absolutely nothing to do with brains. It has to do with purifying yourself with the Word of God. And in order to do that, first you have to be purified. Before you come into the Beis Medrash, first you have to purify yourself, and then after you purify yourself, then the Torah can penetrate into your heart. Now, how much penetrates into your mind, that might depend on your mind. But that's not the point. The point isn't how much goes into your mind. The point is how much goes into your heart. And that's the idea of Kinesi Nasa. That the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah then, first we had to be pure, so too Bizman Hazeh. A guy walks into the Beis Medrash, first he has to be pure. There's a Gemara that says about a certain rabbi that he met a matron woman, a rich Gentile woman, a very important woman, and she said to him, you know, Rabbi, it looks like you raise pigs or you lend money with interest. She just said to him. Why? Because if you lend money with interest, it's a very easy living. And so too, if you raise pigs, it's a very easy living. The pigs, I've never tried it, but the pigs, they do what they do, and you make an easy living. Because she said, Rabbi, you look so good. You look so good. So it must be you have one of those two professions. Either you're a Malva Beribis, you lend with interest, or you're a Magadol Chazir and you raise pigs. He said, neither. Rather, on my way to the Beis Medrash every day, there are 24 bathrooms. And I stop at each one to check myself. And that's why I look so healthy. That's for the answer. Can you believe a Gemara like that? I check myself 24 times to see if I have to go, and then I go to the Beis Medrash. What does that mean? So the Vilna Gaon says, I heard in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that it's alluding to a person's midos. Before he walked into the Beis Medrash, what is waste products? We have physical waste. We also have spiritual waste. So he wasn't telling her that he got rid of his physical waste before he went to the Beis Medrash. On a deeper level, what he was saying was, I check myself 24 times before I go into the Beis Medrash that all of my spiritual waste is emitted from my system. I get it out, and only then the color can come in. Otherwise, we have a problem. Problem is, there's a shoresh in Hebrew, tes mem. Tes mem always means sealed. Where do you see that? How do you say sealed in Hebrew? Atum. Atum means sealed. Tes mem. What do you call somebody whose sexual organs are sealed off so you don't know what gender? Tum tum. It's like a double. He's completely sealed. You don't know what he is. So you're sealed. What else is there? There is tameh. Tameh means you're sealed. What are you sealed from? Kedusha. It doesn't come in. If a person has tumah, then he has those husks around him, and the kedusha doesn't come in. Now you don't see it. We don't see it because we have physical eyes. The tzaddikim can see it. You go into a tzaddik, you go to Rabbi David Abuchatzera, and he takes one look at you, and he can see all the tumah. I don't know if he'll tell you. He's a very, wants to hurt your feelings. But, what? Right, he's not always so shy about it. But that's the tumah that seals us off. And then people say, why am I getting into the learning? Why? It's very simple. Because you're sealed. I'm not saying you guys are sealed. All I see here is purity. All I see is purity. The only impurity I see in this room is the mirror right here. I'm looking down at the mirror. In theory, that's the only thing I can see. But everybody in this room is pure. But a person wants to ask himself, how come the Torah isn't penetrating? How come I don't feel connected to God? How come I don't feel connected to Torah? How come I don't feel connected to spirituality? The answer is, because you're sealed. So in order to be makabel Torah, first it requires purity. First it requires mikvah, both figuratively and literally. You have to purify. And then you can be makabel. We even find in the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Gemara says, I think in Daf Chaf Beis, it says that a Baal Keri, there was actually somebody who was running for president of the United States once, who was Bob Keri. Not close. What a name. So don't tell him. I don't want him to feel bad. So a Baal Keri is one who had a seminal emission. So he's not allowed to learn Torah. He wrote Tzitz HaLacha. He's not allowed to learn Torah after he had a seminal emission. And B'zman HaZeh, you don't have to do it, but it's preferable. If you look carefully, if you read the Rambam carefully, you'll see that they never rescinded the decree. There was a decree that anybody who had a seminal emission shouldn't learn or daven. He should go to the mikvah, and then only then learn and daven. B'zman HaZeh, since it was very hard for people, so it's not enforced, but it's still the ideal. If you can do it, it's definitely the ideal. That's a careful reading of the Rambam, as the Achronim point out. So it says that a Baal Keri is not allowed to learn. Why? Answers the Gemara, Kinesinasa. That when you're learning Torah today, it has to be like God gave us the Torah. Ma lahalan be'em over year of Eresus uvaziyah. Just like when we got the Torah with awe and fear and trembling. It was a serious ma'amad. It was a serious, how do you say ma'amad in English? What? Event, thank you, experience. So that event, so too today, every time you're learning Torah, that is Mamar Har Sinai again. They say that specifically about when we have Kriya Satorah. That's also supposed to be, that's why you're three, there's supposed to be three people standing up there. One represents Hashem, one represents Moshe Rabbeinu, and one represents the Jewish people. So this is, Rav Soloveitchik spoke about this, I heard a lot, about the idea of Kriya Satorah being a reenactment of Mamar Har Sinai. But even every time you're sitting and learning, you see from the Gemara that it has to be kinesinasam. So a person who's a Baal Keri, that's not a state where you're be'em, where you're with awe, fear, trembling. You're learning Torah Hashem. This isn't math. That's when I hear people say, "Yeah, I have a final in math and history and in Gemara." It's just another one of my subjects. So we believe. We hope we believe. We're trying to be mitzchazik in our belief that it's the Word of God. So if it's the Word of God, you have to be pure. If you're not pure, then you can't. How can you possibly have the Word of God? And the Gemara says, "Kinesinasa." Just like we got it then with fear, so too today it has to be fear. And being in a state of Keri is not fear. So therefore, after you go to the mikvah, now you prepared yourself, and now you can go and learn the Torah. So we see another case of Nisi Nats. There's also another Gemara that talks about how different rabbis were sitting around and they were learning, they were going from one thing to the other. V'hayu advarim smechim k'nisi nasan. It was as happy as if it was being given. So that's again the idea. When you're learning Torah, it has to be k'nisi nasan. So there's a Ramban. The Ramban says, the Pasuk says, that you have to remember, Hishamar, this is in Beis Chanan, Hishamar l'chol shmur nashcha me'od, pentishkech l'zvarim asher roi necha. Be very careful not to forget Mamad Har Sinai. So the Ramban says, from here you have a mitzvah from the Torah, that's nice. L'chol vor ha'chaim is where I live, and then I dive in the Ramban shul. So you're in Jerusalem, you're living history. So the Ramban says that there's a mitzvah for every Jew not to forget Mamad Har Sinai. Ramban says that, where's the exact language? Oh, I don't see it. But what he basically says is that v'haya einenu v'libenu sham kol hayamim. Yeah. Shenimnanu shalom ishkach Mamad Har Sinai v'lo nasi osa midatenu. We have to constantly remember Mamad Har Sinai and not distract ourselves from it. Aval yiyu einenu v'libenu sham kol hayamim. Our eyes and our heart has to be there all of our days. It's a big mitzvah. Somebody says, are you frum? Of course I'm religious. I put on tefillin every day. I keep kosher. Wait a second. Are your eyes and heart at Har Sinai every day? That's a big test. I'm not an emadregia. We're working towards it. V'lo nasi osa midatei. Don't forget about it. It's a big test. And then he quotes the pasuk. Be very careful, lest you forget what you saw, and you have to tell your children what you saw at Choreb. So the Ramban says that there's an Isser Doraisa to forget Mamad Har Sinai. There's a kasha on the Ramban, because the Mishnah quotes the same pasuk, and the Mishnah says from this pasuk that you're not allowed to forget your learning. It says in Pirkei Avos that a shochech tabrachah b'mishnaso, that if you forget your learning, you're a mischayev ben avsho, you've done a very serious transgression, not literally chayev misa, but as if. As it says, Yishama l'chol shmur nafshecha. So you see that the Mishnah says it's an azhara, it's a warning not to forget your learning, not to forget Har Sinai. So you have the Ramban who says, don't forget that we received the Torah at Mount Sinai. And we have the Mishnah that says, not like the Ramban, that says, don't forget the Torah you learned. So what are you going to do with the contradiction? So I saw, Katz has a brother-in-law who's a big Rosh Yeshiva in Rehovot. His name is Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Shlita. That's pretty cool, right? Everyone thought Rav Cook died. No. He's still alive. Just a different one. So he says, he has a sefer. He says the pshat in the Ramban. He says, what is the Ramban going to say? It's very simple. The Ramban would say, remember, the Ramban says that you're not allowed to forget Mamad Har Sinai. And the Mishnah says from that same pasuk that you're not allowed to forget your learning. What the Ramban would say is that whenever you remember your learning, you're remembering your learning as if it was Mamad Har Sinai. That's what your learning is. Why do you forget your learning? Because it's not a big enough deal. So you learn a little bit and you forget. It doesn't really matter. But let's say it was like Mamad Har Sinai. It's like it was a world-changing event. So if it's a world-changing event, then, you know, of course you're not going to forget. There was Kolos, there was Brachim, there was thunder and lightning, and there was God appearing to the Jewish. That's not something you're going to forget. So if Torah is real to you, as it should be, like Har Sinai, then you're not going to forget it. So it's really not a contradiction. Really, the Mishnah is correct, of course, that you're not allowed to forget your learning. When the Ramban says you're not allowed to forget Har Sinai, he means that you're not allowed to forget your learning because it came from Har Sinai. So it's really one and the same. That's why you're remembering your learning, because it's so big. I heard a story just today. I heard from Rav Schechter. He said about Rav Gorelick, who was a Maggid Shir in Yeshiva University. So he was giving the Shir in Yiddish. He used to give the Shir in Yiddish back in the olden days. And some of the students complained they didn't understand. So he said, let's say a Chinese guy marries a French girl. First of all, I know one thing is for sure. Whatever they name their kid, I'm not going to be able to pronounce it. That's for sure. That's a shitter. So a Chinese guy marries a French girl, right? How do they communicate? Answer, there's an international language. What's that international language called?
Love.
Love. Love is an international. If you're in love, that can be communicated even though you don't necessarily speak the same words. But you understand what the other person is saying because it's love. Rav Gorelick said, if the students really were in love with Torah, they'd understand the Shir. If they really wanted it, they'd understand. That's what he said. Because you're in love. So you're in love, you're going to get it. So if you really see Torah as Har Sinai, you're going to remember. Why are you going to remember? Because how do you remember your learning? How do you remember? There's some people, they don't forget. They don't forget. So you know, I don't know, I know from people who don't forget. I don't know for myself. The secret of not forgetting is three words. Kihem chayenu. The second it's kihem, second it's your life, if it's your life, you're not going to forget. Somebody has to take, every day they have to take a pill for something. Otherwise, the doctor says you miss a day, you die. Person in law lane who has diabetes. He doesn't take his insulin shots. Bad news. But he doesn't forget. Why doesn't he forget? We only forget things. I've been to many weddings. I haven't yet been to a wedding where the chassan or kala forgot to come. That I haven't been to yet. I've seen interesting things. I haven't seen that yet. Why? Why do you forget? My chavrusas forget to come. I forget to come. I forget I had a meeting. I forget I had a dentist appointment. Of course I forgot. Because I don't like going to the dentist. So I make it my business to forget. But if it's kihem chayenu varachem, if it's your life, if it's really, you really believe, and we believe it's our life. What happened at Har Sinai? At Har Sinai, we die. We die because we realize this is it. This is life or death. So if you really think it's your life, so then you're going to remember. Because how can I forget this? It's my existence. That's what we're supposed to believe. That's why when we daven it, even though we don't necessarily believe, that's what we're working on. We're working on getting to the point where it's kihem chayenu, and that's kinesinasan. That when we're, every time we're learning, it's like God is giving us the Torah, and this is a life or death proposition, and this is true reality. It says God opened up the heavens, and you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the most direct contact we have with God. So therefore, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live it, realize that it's our life, and then when you realize it's your life, you're not going to forget. And if one does forget, why is he mischayev benafsho? Because it just wasn't important enough for him. Somebody says, oh, wait, but I don't have a good memory. Oh, you don't have a good memory, so just do it again. And then do it again. Do it again. I read a story about Rav Chaim Kreisworth, who was a big rav in Belgium. He's a big gadol. He used to have a seder every day on the way home from shul. In the morning, he'd mesechus gittin. From beginning to end, 90 pages. I'm in the middle now. I do a little bit every day. But he did 90 pages in one shot. I always think, wow, wouldn't it be cool to do that? But so somebody was once, he used to come to Israel, and a boy picked him up once from the airport. And whenever he'd pick him up, he'd come from time to time, he'd prepare a sugya. And then Kreisworth gets in the car, and the boy prepared the sugya, and he starts talking with the rabbi, learning, and he asks him a question on a Tosfos. So he says, that's an excellent question. Excellent. So he didn't give him an answer. And then when he got to the yeshiva, this yeshiva's America's Torah, he gets there, and he gives the shir, and in the middle of the shir he says that a boy had a question on this Tosfos. And it was an excellent question. I had it myself when I was a young man. What did I do? I decided I have to understand the Tosfos. So I read it, and I read it again. It wasn't making sense. I'm talking about a really smart guy. I read it, and I don't think Shari Tosfos would have helped. You know what I mean? I mean, the push shot he got. But he really, whatever his kasha was, on a deeper level. He said, I decided that until I do it 101 times, I'm not stopping. So I read the Tosfos 101 times. 100, try it, by the way. The stipler says that if you did Averos, and you want to atone for your sins, he says, don't fast. We're too weak for that. Don't go on a tiny zebra, it'll depress you. Don't be antisocial. He said, do the same Gemara 101 times. That's enough torture for you, and then you can go on with your life. Hashem has atoned for you. Boring! You did it once, you did it twice, like when the guy sings a song, right? When a guy, after 2.5 minutes, you have to change the tune. After, it's boring already. It's boring. I already know. I heard this 1,000 times. Ain't old milvad, all right. Whatever the words are, you know, lemancha, Hashem alokeinu, let's move. So, why? Boring! So you do the same Gemara 101, that doesn't even have a tune to it. You do the same. So he said, I did it 101 times. I still didn't understand. So he was in Vilna. He said, I went to the grave of the Vilna Gaon. I lay at the grave, and I started crying, and I asked in the Swiss of the Vilna Gaon, I should understand Pshat Netosis. As happens to all of us sometimes in a shir, we wake up a few hours later. He said, I woke up, I realized I'd fallen asleep, and all of a sudden, the pshat came into my head. That was it. That's what it took. It took 101 times and falling asleep in the Vilna Cemetery. Why would he do such a thing? Just go on. Don't worry. And I would tell. If he would have asked me, I would have said, there are other tosafim also. There's a story about the Rugged Sherba like that. That somebody said, Rebbe, Rugged Sherba is a very colorful character and greatest gaon possibly lived in the last 1,000 years. So somebody wrote, Rebbe, I don't understand the tosafim. I can't move on until I understand this tosafim. So the Rabbi Sheva used to not answer questions. He would just give Mayim Akomas. He would say, look here, 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 look here. So the guy looked, he looked, he worked, he worked. He wrote him a letter back. He said, Rebbe, I don't get it. I don't see what all those Tosim, how they answer my question. So he wrote him back. He said, look, at the end of each Tosfos, he says that he still doesn't understand. And he moves on. So you too, even though you don't understand, it's okay to move on. That was the message. So I would tell him, well, cry to God, say, listen, you're a great man. He's a great man. He was a great Talmud Chacham. He's a tremendous Baal Tzedaka. I would say, and he's from Belgium. My dad's from Belgium. What could be bad? I'd say, move on. Move on. No. He wanted this Tosfos. It was Kihem Chayenu. Also, last year, Mori the Rabbi Shlita, the Talmud Rebbe, came to speak here. And he spoke about how a Beis Medrash looks. How does a Beis Medrash look? I had the schus of being thrown out of the National Library in Israel. They have a big library with hundreds of thousands of sfarim. So I used to hang out there. And one time I met a friend there. So we started chatting in a whisper. It was a whisper. I was told by the librarian, "Sha." So what do you do in shul when somebody says, very often somebody says, be quiet? You just keep whispering. As long as you're, it doesn't count the speaking, as long as you're, so I continued talking to him. Whisper in a whisper, and I was shot again another time or two, and then I was ejected from the library. I was ejected. It's like at a tennis match. You know what I mean? I don't know who the tennis players are today. My day was John McEnroe. John McEnroe, he could have used, you know, Masil Sisharim. It's a Midas issue. So he would go, you cough. Some guy coughs, some old Rebbetzin back in the stand. She has no pleasure in life other than watching going back and forth with her neck. She can barely move her neck. She gave a little bit of a cough, right? All of a sudden, he goes, can you be quiet up there? And they go crazy, and they replay the point. You know what I mean? That's the way it is sometimes in the outside world. You walk into a Beis Medrash, a library has to be quiet. The tennis match, the golf course. Right, after he hits the ball, I'm going to go, ooh. Right, that's the noise you're allowed to make. Yeah, right. But the told you the line of Rav Lazer Brody, a Breslov or Chassid in Israel. He said, if somebody goes to the woods with a piece of metal and he runs after a little ball, they think he's normal. But if he goes into the woods and spends 3 hours talking to God, they say he's weird. But we think going into the woods and talking to God is a good thing. Anyway, so back to our story. So you go up to a Beis Medrash. What are people doing in the Beis Medrash? They're screaming. They're screaming at the top of it. You see those kollel guys? Don't you like feel like going up to them sometimes saying, yo, dude, chill. It'll be okay. You know, at the beginning, I once had a sister-in-law who was in one of the camps, one of the summer camps, and she told me every morning, she went around giving, you know, half the kids were on medication. So everybody give him, what's a pill that calms you? Ritalin. Go every day with a whole box of Ritalin. Right, and go up to each kollel guy when you see him getting a little bit excited. Say, take this, start Miami, Yebisethin. Okay, Dr. Yeto, you make nice. Everything will be fine. Mazin! So he even knows, Zetov, Tiraga. Right? Why is he getting so excited? How was the Torah given? Kolos, Ubrakim. There was a lot of noise there. How do we learn Torah? Kinesi Nasa. We learn Torah like it's given. There has to be a lot of noise. If there's not screaming, then it's not. That's not the way Torah is supposed to be in a library. You're not whispering it. So Rebbe said, "Why? What's the pshat?" His pshat is very simple. It's very simple. You see a little baby, and she's on the 88th floor of the Empire State Building, and the window is open, and the baby's on the table playing. And then the baby's a little ball, and the baby's rolling around the ball, and whoopee, the ball rolls out the window. So what did the baby obviously want to do? Baby is gifted potentially with great seichel, but as the Maharal says, we have to develop it. We're not born with all of our mental faculties as we'd like them to be. So the baby wants to call after the ball. What do you say? I don't think it's worth your while. No! You grab the baby. It's pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh. If somebody's saying the wrong pshat in the Gemara, it's pikuach nefesh. This is my life. And you're distorting my entire life. It's like you're making somebody makes a picture of your girlfriend. It's the ugliest picture you've ever seen. You say, how can you do it? That's disgusting. How can you paint her that way? Right? Somebody's taking the Torah and they're giving a crooked shot. They're giving a crooked, krum is crooked in the vernacular. They're giving a crooked explanation on the Rashi. And you say, how can you do that to a beautiful Torah? The Rashi wouldn't think it's such a crooked way. And that's why if you look in the Ravid, The Rabbi doesn't like what the Rambam says sometimes. he rips the Rambam. There's a Rambam who says about the Hilchos Korban Pesach, right? Baruch, you remember the Korban Pesach? He looked up the answer. The Rambam says when you cook the Korban Pesach, you cook it with the Gid HaNoshe, with that sciatic nerve you're not allowed to eat. You cook it whole. You're not allowed to cook it. You roast it. You roast it whole. And then the Ravid says, and the Rambam, he says, how can that be? Because if you roast it together with the sciatic nerve, which isn't kosher, then the juice, the liquid, the moisture from that sciatic nerve is going to spread to other parts of the animal, and it won't be kosher. So therefore, if the Rambam would give me such an animal that he roasted according to his psak, I would take it and I would throw it right down in front of his face. That's what he says. That's what he says to the Rambam. What the Rambam's teretz is, so last year we gave a prize for the person who found out. So I'm not promising, but the first person who comes and answers that kasha, so it'll be hard for me not to give you the first one. If I have 80 people online, so I'll send you to Mr. Hamer and he'll take care of you. In any event, so I'll throw it in front of you. One time the Rambam, and I was talking about light and some halacha, some psak, and the Ravid says, "Ein po'or el choshech." And he says, one time, "I've never seen a worse svara than this." I'm saying, he rips him. He rips him. And you see over the generations, you see even in the Gemara sometimes, Domesh ein lo mach because kodel. He doesn't have a brain. That's what they talk about. What's going on over here? What's the answer? The answer is, if the doctor is about to prescribe for you the wrong medicine, this is no time to be polite, because it's a matter of life and death. That's the kol subrachim. And that is Kabbalah Satorah. And that's what the Ramban says. Einenu v'libenu sham kol hayom. That our eyes, I heard from Moshe Piro Shlita. He says our eyes, meaning everything we see, you have to see with synatic eyes. How does God see this? That's what it means. Einenu sham, our eyes have to be at Sinai for all the days. What does it mean, libenu? Our hearts. That all of our feelings, all of our emotions, should be from Sinai. You get excited about things the Torah is excited about, and the things the Torah is not excited about, Sinai doesn't have anything to say about it. So let's say you go up to the Chofetz Chaim, and it's a Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock. The holy Chofetz Chaim, the author of the Mishnah Berurah, Shmiras HaLashon, Chofetz Chaim, many other Sfarim, Amalek Hashem, Baal Ruach HaKodesh, many amazing stories. Go up and you say to him, Rebbe, I can't stay for the shir. Why can't you stay for the shir? Rebbe, I have to watch a football game. What's a football game? Well, Rebbe, they kill a chazir. Okay, that's good. You don't have to shecht it. There's no halachas there. That's fine. He's a dead chazir. They take his skin. They paint it brown. They blow some hot air into it. Yes? And then they make it into this sort of funny shape. Not exactly a circle, not exactly oval shape, this sort of funny shape. And then 11 people on the field? 11 oversized goyim try to paralyze 11 other oversized goyim. That's what they try to do. What do you mean they try to paralyze them? Well, you see, Rebbe, whoever has the ball, usually a large white man is going to be standing holding the ball, and then other large black men are going to be attacking him, trying with all their might. Now, Rebbe, you have to understand, they could theoretically end the play, I'll explain to you what that means, by just lightly putting him on the ground, but then the fans won't get excited. It's most exciting when you can actually hear the bones crack. So what they're going to try to do is, they're going to try to go in with their helmet, this very, very hard helmet. They're going to go in, and they're going to try to crack them in the back. That's the most exciting for the fans. 70,000 people are going to pay large amounts of money, including tens of millions of people at home, in order to see this scene, where the man is standing like this, and he's not expecting it. He's not expecting it at all. And all of a sudden, from the blind side, a man is going to come with, it's like being hit by a Mack truck. I've never tried it before, but I can imagine. He's going to try to ram his helmet into the man's back and then violently throw him on the ground, hoping he is not able to get up on his own. That's what he's going to do. And then, if he's successful, they're going to bring in another tall white man who is being paid a large amount of money to undergo the same punishment. Right? So but what did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? He's holding the ball. Did he steal the ball? No, Rebbe. No gzela here. There's no punishment. He's supposed to have the ball, but the other team also wants the ball. And then everybody's going to go and they're going to spend. And not only that, Rebbe, you should know that this is a regular Sunday. You should know there's another time of year where yeshiva boys who learn Torah Hashem, they're going to stay up the whole night. The whole night. Nobody paying them. Other times of the year they stay up all night. They get 400 shekel of Mariah money. You have, you know, you have a nice incentive. Without any incentive, there's going to be no payment. They're going to stay up the whole night, which means that obviously the next day their learning is going to be the same learning, in order to watch this spectacle. Say, so, yeah, and what's the point? Oh, Rebbe, there is no point. There is no point. What? Then why are they doing it? I'll tell you why, Rebbe. Because the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that you can take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, but you can't take Mitzrayim out of the Jews. And that's the avod. It's a big avod. I'll tell you personally, I went through the avod. I went through it. It was in me. It was in the kishkis. I'm not talking as some guy who just came from the Mir in Poland and all I know is Yiddish. It's in the kishkis also. I was actually born on Mount Sinai, so I can say in Enu Liban Risham Kol Hayom, but this Mount Sinai was on 100th Street. Yes, in Manhattan. So it's in there. And you can't miss. How are you going to miss the game? How are you going to miss the game? It's a holy game. It's a big game. You know why it's a big game? Because they all say it's a big game. And they have all the hype. And you're preparing before. And then at halftime, as if, you know, your yetzer for violence isn't satisfied. Watching men kill each other, I heard they satisfy other yetzerim. So Rebbe, it's a whole thing. Yes? And then you have to watch. You have to watch it. So as I was going through this process, little by little, it worked. You know, it wasn't in 7 weeks, it wasn't in 7 months. But I got to the point where I said one time, I was in America, I said, I'm going to try this year. I had afternoon Seder. I was in Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn. I was there for all of 6 weeks, but it was worth the entire 6 weeks for this one experience. It was there, and I knew it was a Super Bowl, and I could have also gotten out of afternoon Seder. I'd have to stay up all night. And I just stayed. I stayed in the Beis Medrash. And you know what? That was it. That was the last Super Bowl I didn't see. And that was the last Super Bowl that even interested me to see. Because I realized, what did I lose? I didn't lose anything. Actually, it was a good ending over there. It was 1991. There was like a field goal at the end. Anyone know what I'm talking about? I know it was before your time, but sometimes guys know history. What? Giants? Bills. Giants, Bills. Yeah, what happened at the end? So did he make the field goal or he missed the field goal? He missed it. Wide left. I see guys going by. Hashem, we have umpires here. It's good. They wear black and white. At least a little more Haredi. So you have the wide left. The side that they missed. And everyone goes nuts. And this side all goes nuts. So what? So what? A name of the banner Hashem Kol Hayamim. The Gemara says, quotes a pasuk in Hosea, Al Tismach Yisrael Al Gila Amin. Why are we part of it? Why are we part of that world? What does that do for us? Does it make us more pure? Does it make us better people? The Jews, we brought so many nice things to the world. We brought Shabbos to the world. We brought Vahat Lorecha Kamocha to the world. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit fratricide, or what do you call it? Kidicide. What's called when you kill your kid? Infanticide. We brought many beautiful ideas to the world. What do we need this for? Now, I know it's in the blood, we don't need it. So, I know people are going to go watch it anyway. I know there was a yeshiva, somebody told me a good story. The Rosh Yeshiva gave a whole shiur about how they shouldn't go watch the Super Bowl, and it ended up that was like the pre-Super Bowl party. Right? Everybody wanted to listen to him, and then they all went to watch the game. So I'm not so naive, but I want people to think about it. I want people to think about what we're in this world for, what we have to contribute to the world, and what their world is about, and what they're contributing to the world, and what values they're trying to convey, and what values we're trying to convey. Because ultimately, nobody can really explain why the game is important. Nobody can explain, because it isn't. Because they just hyped it up, they made it into a big deal. They got to the Super Bowl. They gave it a big name. They have a lot of. They discuss it a lot. They talk. And then they have the actual game, which usually isn't even so exciting, because it's a game. Some games are, some games aren't. In rare occasions, it happens to be very exciting. But it's only a game. So if you're going to watch, remind yourself, it's just a game. It's not really important to me. We're a Sinai Jews. It just happens to be God. This is my way of relaxing. This is how I want to spend my 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. on Sunday night. But it's really not me. And I hope to get to the point where I'm so suffused with Har Sinai. I'm so suffused with Kedusha that I don't have to battle it anymore. It just ceases to be interesting. That's what happens. When you learn enough Torah, all of these things don't appeal to you anymore. Because why would somebody like me, who's a ben of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who learns Torah, Mul Kodesh HaKadoshim, who's all Jewish history, and David HaMelech, and Yeshayo, and Avraham Avinu, and everything we have in the Gemara, and the Rishon, and the Achronos, and the Kedusha, and everything we've given to the world, why would I want to be part of that world? Why would I want to be, you know, they were Jews in Germany. They wanted to assimilate. They said, no, it's a good culture. It's a nice culture. And look at, they're such nice, fine people. They would never, you know, blindside somebody and try to paralyze them. You know, they listen to classical music and they're educated. And they showed us. They showed us, you don't want to have any part of us. Because that's who we are. We're animals. We're animals. I'm not saying that every single goy you'll ever meet is an animal. What I'm saying is that there's something to a Jew, there's something to our neshama that just makes us more elevated. And the Torah that we have makes us more elevated. And the more you feel that about yourself, the less appealing it is. The less appealing their music is, and the less appealing their sporting event. All these things. So in the meantime, you're going to say to yourself, I hope maybe I'm right now not on the level, in the worst case scenario. Right now I'm not there yet, but I hope to get there one day. I hope to learn enough Torah that these things don't interest me anymore. And then I'm able to look at that, I'm able to laugh. I once saw in the Sichos of Yeruchim. Yeruchim was the Mashgiach in the Mir. See, he writes, you know, they have this, he died in 1936. He says, the Goyim, they have this Yetzirah to watch guys running around after a soccer ball. He says, that's what he said in Sefer. He said, we don't understand such a Yetzirah. That's what he told the students in the mirror. We don't understand. And then he talked about their Yetziraharas. So today, the average American kid has their Yetzirah to run around and watch him. And that's, you know, that's the Nisan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. But the goal is to realize just how nonsensical it is, to realize how silly it is. And the biggest riot of all, besides everything else, is even the players admit it. The players also admit it. They'll ask you if you pin them down, or if something happens in their life, or somebody gets sick, or they retire. They themselves will tell you it's all nonsense, and it's all a silly game, and people just make too much of it. They themselves will admit it. So why should we make a big deal out of what they themselves will admit as silliness? And certainly from the perspective of Torah, we're holy, we're Jewish, and feel that way. Feel your own. I wouldn't even watch the game. I'd be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed. Anybody would see me. I'd just be like, Norman, how can you? I'm embarrassed myself. I wouldn't be able to look at myself in the mirror the next day. I was like, how can you? You learn Sfasemis out of Torah. You learn Tosis. You learn Rashi. You learn the Rambam, the Ramban. You learn Kedosh Elyon. How can you lower yourself to watch this spec? I'm just saying, and that's the way. Like, football's the worst. Like, football, just like, it's so violent. It's so violent. And I know people enjoy it. That's part of our Yetzirah, that we enjoy it. But we should realize that Hakol Kol Yaakov Yadayim Yedeisav. That's mamish. The Yadayim Yedeisav are the hands holding that football. So I'll end lamenting the fact that the Dolphins didn't make it into the Super Bowl this year. I was a long-time Dolphin fan. And I'll give everybody a bracha mitzvah Hashem that we should all be zocha to be matar ourselves, to be mekadesh ourselves before Kabbalah Satorah. And as we say every day, bracha to Hashem, no sein atorah. Hashem gives the Torah every day, and we should merit to receive it.
1, 2, 3, 4!